How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
You spoke, we listened.
Our number one product, the Divorce Crash Course, is now available as a private podcast.
So for $150, you'll have access to listen to the DCC just like you're listening to this episode right now. You can watch the DCC and you'll get the printable workbook.
More importantly, you'll get insider information to save up to thousands of dollars on your divorce.
The Divorce Crash Course, expert divorce guidance for a fraction of the price. Check out the link in our show notes or visit thedivorcecrashcourse.com. The process of getting divorced might suck, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced.
You have found the only divorce podcast that's hosted by a family law attorney and a recovering comedian. Get ready for action steps, empathy, and a lot of laughs.
This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Are you looking for a gift or a little something for somebody who's going through a divorce? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member. Well, friends, you are in the right place. Morgan and I are thrilled to announce that we have just launched our own line of divorce greeting cards.
That is right. And here's the best part about them. Remember, just a little saying or a little card goes such a long way when somebody's struggling. They're funny, they're sassy, some are very heartfelt. But here's the thing. You can buy one, you can send it to a friend, or Andrea and I can even write it to your friend. Just the thought and the community that you will be sending to the person who's going through it, just to know that they're not alone, means so much.
Go check them out on our website, direct link in the show notes.
So if you've listened to our show before, you know that I'm a fan of girls' trips. Andrea is an absolute, I would say, if there was like an anti-fan, like, that is Andrea. She absolutely hates girls' trips. And guess what? Guess what? We are going on a girls' trip. Yes, we are. We are actually leaving in a few days. And it's more than a girls' trip. It's a podcast trip, which is going to be fabulous. But, you know, I'm hoping it's going to be smooth sailing. We've never traveled together. I know you hate girls' trips. I don't know if I'm supposed to stay in my room the whole time, if you want to hang out. Like, how do I navigate this?
Okay. Listen, I don't hate you. I hate the group thing. So because it's just the two of us, it's going to be amazing. Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of other people. I mean, we're not doing like a lock-in at a hotel, though that sounds fabulous. But we're going to LA because we are emceeing an amazing event for a nonprofit organization that offers legal assistance to low-income families. And every year they have a big fundraiser and they asked us to come out and emcee this event, which we are so honored to do. And we get to have a trip. LA, here we come. I have to tell you, I have been shopping nonstop for like are you a shopper like prior to travel? You travel all the time. Like, do you love to buy things for when you go away?
So yes, but only usually like on the big trip, you know, the big trip overseas or something like that. These kind of trips, I'm like scrambling because I'm at work so much. I'm trying to juggle so much, just like you are. But the thought of having one more thing on my plate, let alone trying to get it all into a bag, is just too overwhelming for me.
I think that I shop for these things because I love the getting ready more than I like the actual event. And I love planning. So I have been ordering things, buying things. I'm so excited because I love to have something to like look forward to. And because we get to get all dolled up for an event, it's like a great excuse to like buy extra beauty products. And I mean, I know you and I have been texting about like, what kind of mask, what kind of Korean skincare are we smuggling into California so we can look as youthful as possible? Just so you know, I've got a little bag of goodies to hopefully keep you in good spirits while you tolerate my cranky ass for the weekend.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because speaking of which, I have my own goodies because I was already thinking like, how am I going to bribe Andrea to come back and be like, oh, that was a nice time together. So hopefully my goodies bribe you.
Girl, your goodies are always bribing me. Listen, it's funny though, because what we're talking about today is how to get on your attorney's good side. So maybe one of the things that we should add is buy them gifts, take them on a girl's trip. No, don't. But listen, you're listening to this episode because the title got your attention. And great, because here we go. How do you get on your attorney's good side? Which in return, you all know this, if you're on someone's good side, then you are going to be a priority, right? Just like how if a waiter likes you better, you're going to get better service. Your attorney is probably going to give you better service if they like you. So listen up, bitches, because Morgan's not going to say this because she's too nice and too professional, but I'm neither of those things. If you are a goddamn pain in the ass, your attorney is not going to want to deal with you. And listen, I get it. You're stressed out. You are exhausted. You are overwhelmed. You're scared. You're probably frustrated. And you're not only frustrated with the situation, but there's a good chance that you're also frustrated with your attorney, because your attorney is going to be delivering you less than great news from time to time. Or maybe you haven't heard from your attorney and that's making you frustrated. So we're going to tell you exactly what to do, how to do it, what to communicate, how to communicate so that you get the best care and best representation.
All right. So let me start by saying this. I think every client deserves good service. I really do. You're going through the worst, most stressful time of probably your life. And so I don't want anything I say, because if I'm going to actually give up the goods, which I'm going to give up the goods to get you on your attorney's good side, I don't want you thinking that that means you should settle for less than stellar service. You should not. But there's a big but here. You have to have realistic expectations. And what I mean by that is your attorney is also human, okay? Your attorney also has the stresses that you have at home. They might have children that may be sick coming home from school. They may be taking care of their parents as well. They have all of their caseload on their plates. They are human. And some days just might go haywire for them because things in court or a different case might take priority. So whatever you're dealing with your attorney, just remember they're human. They also deserve some grace. So let's start with that.
And speaking of them being human, Morgan, let's talk about the fact that yes, like they are providing you a service, but if you're a complete dick to them, then you're not going to be at the top of their list. As much as, I mean, I get what you said before, like everyone deserves great service. Yeah, but they're human. Just like we have talked about this many times, judges are also human.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give you a story, and we're going to get into action steps, what to do, what not to do. But I want to give you a story. I mean, I had a client, and I won't tell you when or where, but let's just say that this client's name is Chad, because we always talk about good old Chad and Brenda. And I had to have a really tough conversation with Chad. I had to set him straight on a bunch of things. It wasn't a pleasant conversation. And one of the things that we were talking about and why we started this tough conversation is because Chad wanted us to do and file certain things in court. And what I said to Chad was, okay, no problem, but let me see your OFW, our family wizard messages, before we do anything. And lo and behold, there are some not so good messages on OFW. And with that, I said, no, we will not be filing this because this will hurt you. And that is the beauty of OFW. It keeps your messages. It has a tone meter that makes sure, obviously, Chad, my client, wasn't using the tone meter because it would have said, XXX, do not send this, but he hit send regardless. And now it is on OFW for lawyers or a judge potentially to see.
And you look at this from the flip side, right? What if you're the person divorcing Chad and you could have had this major motion thrown in your face for something that's totally whack, but thanks to our family wizard, all of the communication was tracked and it saved you a major headache. Which is why anybody who is in a potentially high conflict situation should be using the safest, the most court-trusted co-parenting app. It does so much more than just help out the Chad and Brendas of the world. This will help you with your calendars. It helps you with your finances. It helps you do all forms of communication. All of the smartest parents use it. all of our friends here on the show use it.
And you can get it at a percentage off if you use our code that will be in our show notes. He didn't take it well. He fought me every step of the way, but I was doing my job and I had to tell him that I thought he was wrong. And the way that he handled it and the way that he responded was so inappropriate that when he called later that day and demanded a call back, and I knew for a fact that there was no emergency and I was busy with a million other things, I wasn't able to fit him in. And partly that was because I was frustrated by the way that he handled feedback that was not negative. It was more about doing my job and telling him, listen, you've got to be really careful with how you're behaving. This is not going to go well for you. And what you want cannot be accomplished in court. I want to save you money rather than take you down a road that you're going to lose and basically spend a lot of money. So just those stories, I think you should kind of take a step back and think about it. Again, every lawyer's human. They're there to do a job. Every call isn't going to be fabulous. You're going to get feedback that maybe you don't like. So just remember that.
So, okay, keeping with that theme, there are a lot of people, and let's say that it's not someone who had an aggressive conversation with you, but there are a lot of people who maybe they clicked on this episode because they're already frustrated because they feel like their attorney is taking forever to respond to them. And maybe in addition to it feeling like they're not getting quick responses, maybe the responses they're getting are also not very clear. Right. And their gut is telling them that they're not at the top of the to-do list for their attorney. So what do we want these people to know?
Yeah. So if you're one of those people that is just feeling like, all right, I have this hired attorney. Are they doing anything? Do they even care? The way to handle it is to get on their schedule. The way, as long as it's not an emergency, the way to handle it is to set up a call. And voice your concerns. I mean, we attorneys, especially divorce attorneys, we have thick skin. We've been around the block a few times. So we're not afraid to, and we don't shy away from hard conversations, but there's a way to have those conversations. So there's a way to have those conversations that's respectful, that's basically getting what you need, but being very respectful doing it. So one of the ways that I would do that is I'd first set up a call, get on their schedule. If you want to bullet point some of the points that you want to talk about for yourself, great. So that you can follow kind of what you want to say, that's great. Or you could even email them in advance and say, here's the things I want to talk about. And I think you should say to them, listen, I know you're super busy, but here are some of the concerns that I have with our communication. And how do we work better together? So make it a we. How do we work better? What can I do as a client to be better for you as a lawyer so I get the service that I'm looking for? Those are conversations that totally can be had and should be had if you don't feel like you're getting the service you deserve.
What's a realistic time frame for an attorney to respond to an email?
So my rule of thumb generally with my team is I would like to see them returning an email within 24 hours or less. I think that that is realistic on the high-end firms that are very service-oriented, which is one of where I work, basically. But remember this, if you're with a small firm where there's a solo attorney, you know, they're juggling way more. I have a whole team under me that handles certain things. So you have to kind of be realistic with the team that you've hired. I also think that there are certain times, and even on my team, that we don't respond within that amount of time. There's a few reasons for it. One, potentially your attorney could be on trial or be in court all day or in mediation all day. And remember, they're human too. They deserve to eat dinner. They deserve to see their family. Yes, you're important, but they might not be able to get back to you within that certain time frame. And remember this too, if they're on trial, I would hope that within 24 to 48 hours, they would be responding to you or one of their staff would be telling you, hey, they're on trial, but here's what we're going to do to get your message across. If it's an emergency, most lawyers will try to figure out a way to get to you and call you if it's a true emergency. Not an emergency that you feel is an emergency, but if the lawyer feels that it's a true emergency and something needs to be done, generally they're going to reach out to you right away to try to handle it.
What if on top of this person feeling like, okay, it's taking on average, 3 to 5 days for somebody to respond. And maybe they are at a smaller, more boutique practice because that's what they can afford. Because let's face it, the majority of people in this country who are navigating a divorce don't have the funds to have representation at a big firm. Okay, so let's just say that. Let's also say that it's taking a few days. When they do get a response, they don't know what the fuck that response means. It could be maybe, what if somebody asks, hey, I want to know, I'm concerned that my spouse has not paid child support in blah, blah, you know, X amount of time. And I'm not sure what the next step is, right? And then the attorney's like, well, we could file a motion, we could do this, but that's going to take, you know, X and this, and then there's that. And then, you know, you have to be prepared for the judge and da 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 da. And then the person is like, I don't understand. What do you want me to do? Are you filing a motion? Help that person out who needs that next action step on how do I get my answer to my question?
Yes. So usually if you're that kind of client, you are somebody who maybe needs more handholding, okay? So, and that is okay. That is totally acceptable. And if you are not following what your lawyer is saying on email, you should certainly follow up. Because remember, you make the decisions in your case. And if you don't know what your lawyer is talking about or what the strategy is or what they want you to say yay or nay to, do not make a call that you do not know. And so what I would say to that is, just be totally upfront and kind. You can say, hey, really appreciate your email, but it must be the, you know, lawyer terms, but I'm not quite sure I understand it. Can we get on a 5-minute call whenever it works for your schedule so I can really kind of walk through it? So now the lawyer is, a few things has happened. They're like, one, that was respectful. Two, it's clear that I didn't do a good enough job explaining the options because they want a phone call. And three, I'm going to think through a little bit more on how to better explain the problem and the options for the client. So hopefully the phone call will go a lot better.
And if you're wired like me and you do not enjoy kissing somebody's ass when you feel like it's especially not warranted, I want to put this bug in your ear. Being kind and using phrases like, I'm sorry, I didn't fully understand what you know, I just read. That's not kissing ass. That's helping you get to what you need. What we're doing here is we want to get you to a solution. So if you continue to do the opposite and you dig your heels into the ground and you're just holding on to this animosity towards your attorney and you're getting resentful, that's only taking you, and if you could see my hands right now, like farther and farther and farther away. And we want to get you and an attorney on the same page.
Yeah. And I want to remind you of something that sometimes clients don't really think through, especially the ones that are super demanding, not very kind, that kind of thing. So let's go back to Chad, where Chad was just being a complete you-know-what on the phone to me when I'm going back and forth trying to do my job, trying to explain what could happen, why I don't recommend certain things. Remember this, for attorneys, good attorneys, we usually have a very, very heavy book of business, meaning there's a lot of clients that we're managing at once. If you're going to be an asshole, we don't need you as a client. So you have to be very careful. And I'm not saying don't say what you want or need. I think that's so important, advocating for yourself and your case and your family. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is you got to be very careful, because at some point, the lawyer in that conversation that I had with this particular client, there was part of me that was like, you know what? This might not be a good fit for me. And I might fire that client and say, go find a different lawyer, which that client probably would never see coming.
I'll just say it because you're too nice to say it. You need them more than they need you. Okay? That's the reality. They do not need you as a client. If they're a good attorney, they do not need you. They do not need your case. They will be just fine without your retainer. They really will. Now, if they really need the money and that retainer and your business, well, then, you know, think about that. But most good attorneys are in a position of power here. And I know, if God, especially if you're leaving a marriage where that was an issue that might be rubbing you the wrong way, I'm not saying it to be a dick. I want you to have a realistic mindset here. Okay. If you are sick, right? If you're sick and you are going to the doctor, let's say you are seeing your oncologist. You need that oncologist more than that oncologist needs you. So are you going to walk into that office and say, hey, fuck you, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, you don't know, and I sat in your waiting room for fucking 35 minutes. You know I'm fucking sick, right? You know, no, you treat that person with respect because you are looking to them to save your life. Same here, friends.
And I want to make the point too that any good divorce lawyer wants to do well by you. We want to impress. We want to deliver more than we expect. We want you to be happy if that's possible at the end of the day. So any good lawyer wants it to be right. It's not like we're out there just being like, oh, screw you, like goodbye. That's not how we play this game. That's not why we become the lawyers that we are. It just needs to be a good fit and respectful on both sides. So let's move into some action steps. What do you say?
Yeah, let's recap everything that we just went over. So if someone is feeling like the communication is not working for them, whether it's how long it's taking or what they're saying, how exactly should they communicate that they want to address this?
There's two ways. One is that you could send an email with some bullet points, just, hey, you know, I've been having some issues and some thoughts around the way we communicate. Maybe it's me and I just want to walk through, you know, a few points with you. Can we set up a call?
Do we want to say the word issues? I don't know, because maybe I'm like so much of a baby and you're not a baby. So like you could read that and be like, issues, fine. I see the word issues and I like buckle. I'm like, what do you mean there's an issue? So is that just me being like hypersensitive and paranoid? Or do you think that, or do you feel like maybe it's always safer to say, when you have a chance, I would like to discuss, like, I loved what you said earlier when you said, how can we better partner together?
Yes.
Or am I being a baby?
No. Look, if I get an email that said I have some issues with the way we're communicating, I'm going to definitely, you know, sit up straighter and be like, oh, we've got a problem here. If you are doing it the way you're doing it, I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is a little more collaborative. I think either way works. It depends on how you want to communicate with your lawyer. I don't think either way is bad. What we are advocating for on this podcast is not being rude in an email. I don't think either email is rude. It really gets both get to the point, both say you want to communicate about something, et cetera. So that's the first way, is on email. The second way is just to send them an email or call their assistant and say, hey, I want to get on Morgan's calendar for 20 minutes. What does she have available? And set a call, and then you handle it on the phone call.
And friends, this is where our attorney guide is really going to come in handy. It's on our website. It's $20. It's going to literally hold your hand and teach you how to write effective emails, how to get to the point, and how to have an effective and productive phone call that's not going to cost you hundreds of dollars, because you could book a 20-minute call, but if that attorney has time to talk to you longer and you're on the phone for like an hour, that could be hundreds of dollars for you just to go round and round and round. So you have to make notes. You need to have this written down. What am I trying to gain? What is the point of this call? And when I hang up, what do I want to know? And again, the guide is going to talk you through that. There's one thing that I want to say about all of this. I've been through this. You all know that. I have had moments with all of the representation that I have, because if you have not listened to this show for a long time, you might not know. I've gone through three different attorneys. I had one attorney who divorced me. I had another attorney when I first had post-decree issues. And then lastly, I have my favorite team, which is actually at Morgan's firm. Every time I had to deal with news that I didn't like. And because we're all human, there are going to be times where I probably reacted like, oh, fuck, really? But as I got better with communicating and saying to my team, you are the messenger, I hear you. Gosh, as a parent, I hate hearing this. And as a responsible adult, I'm absorbing it. What do we do from here? It makes such a difference than if you just react and say, well, why? What do you mean? What do you mean they said this? I don't understand. Because that automatically makes the attorney have to take care of you, which is obnoxious.
And I want to tell you one other story, because I'm not saying, and I never would advocate, like, don't show your attorney your feelings. We want to know how you're feeling. We want to know if you're upset, if something's really kind of pushed you over the edge. Like, that is us doing our job. I had a client who was absolutely lovely. This client was a female. She had come from a few different lawyers before us. and came to us and realized, wow, we have given her good representation. So the whole time during her case, at least like the first half, lovely human. Just every time we'd get off the phone, she'd be like, thank you so much. I understand the strategy. This is the first time I've ever understood it. I just want you to know I'm so grateful that you guys are on my team. We were like flattered. We're like, that's lovely. She's so lovely. We do everything for her. But at one point, there did come some bad news in her case that she wasn't happy about. And she lost it. And she lost it on email. And she lost it on the phone. But guess what? It didn't affect us. Because in general, we knew that's not who she was. Because she was always kind, always, you know, respectful. And she was just having a bad day. So there's a difference between having a bad day and just being a jerk. And that's what you want to listen and kind of take in from this episode.
So speaking of being a jerk, let's go through some things that we want people not to do. What is the Morgan, that will put you on the shit list?
Okay. Starting out, you know, when you first call a lawyer, you're probably going to be talking to one of their staff members. Okay. So when you're talking to the staff member, treat them respectfully. You will not even believe the staff members that will come in and be like, oh, this lady's coming in. You got to be careful. This lady doesn't sound like she is a person you want to take on. So they'll come beforehand, or they'll say, I had one potential client call in and understood that this client was very amped up about his situation. And when one of my assistants was kind of intaking and asking the questions, he lost it on her, so much so that she ended up having to hang up on him. And I think she's been with me for almost 17 years. And that was the first time ever that she's ever had to do that. But he was so belligerent. So that immediately, I refused to take the case. I wouldn't even meet with him. Because if you are disrespectful to our staff, then we certainly will not be taking you in. So be respectful and kind when you're talking to the staff.
Okay. So being disrespectful to the staff is a definite no-no. Anything else you can think of that's like an automatic, it's going to be a no from me, dog?
Not on the intake side, but there's some things that you can do that are just straight up annoying to a lawyer. Number one, don't cold call them or hammer call them, right? Just out of the blue. At times, like for me, most of my clients get my cell phone number. I would say 95% are super respectful with it. But I have clients that just, it's not a time that they should be calling. We don't have a call scheduled. We have nothing coming up in court. They're not meeting me. And they're just randomly calling me through the day. The problem with that is you should know that most good lawyers have 100 cases on their plate at a time. Their days are back-to-back scheduled. They can't just be hammer called, and you can't expect that they're going to pick up your phone call when they're just randomly calling you. So that's number one. Number two, unless it's some kind of serious emergency, do not demand a call back that day. So that is like so grating to a lawyer who's busy and trying to manage and keep everything together when you get an email like, I would like to speak with you today. And I'm like, well, this isn't an emergency and I'm back-to-back meetings and I want to take care of you, but do not demand that I call you back that day. All of this kind of dovetails into the big, big theme of today, which is the more your attorney likes you and the more they're going to go out on that limb for you. They're going to treat you amazing if they feel like you guys are really getting along and you are treating them with respect.
So, okay. So basically what we're talking about here is don't be a dick to other people on your attorney's team. Don't speak down to them. Don't be disrespectful or short to any associates, to the paralegal. Now, I want to bring up something. A lot of times clients are frustrated when they're not aware that their case is going to be handled by not only the person they hired, but a whole team. Because sometimes attorneys make a mistake and they don't communicate that right off the bat. And then what happens is they email a question and instead of hearing back from their attorney, they hear from somebody else and they're like, well, who the fuck are you? So what is the most professional way of a client responding to that kind of email. If they're like, I don't know who this person is, who's now all of a sudden emailing on the behalf of my attorney.
Yeah, that's tricky because there's pros and cons with that in a law firm. And so you might want to have a conversation if your attorney hasn't said, like, we work in a team structure. And remember, Andrea, we have the attorney guide that goes through what to ask the attorney about the team structure, which is what you should be doing and getting ahead of it so you're not shocked. But let's just say you are shocked by it. You're like, who's this Scott guy calling me? I don't even know who the hell you are. And now you want to tell me about my case? So number one, don't feel bad about asking who, if Scott calls you to talk about your case, don't feel bad. Ask what Scott is. Are you a lawyer? Do you work on Morgan's team? How long have you been practicing? Do you know about my case? Don't feel bad asking those questions when Scott's calling you back. I would hope that the Scott would be like, yes, I'm a lawyer. Yes, I work on Morgan's team. And yes, I know about your case. And I'm calling you because Morgan is stuck in court and can't get back to you. And we want to give you good service. Then, if you would like, you're welcome to have a conversation with me, who maybe was the lead attorney on your case. And you might find out that, hey, Scott's on my team. He's helping me when I'm getting stuck places, but also he's keeping our costs down because he's billing you at a much lesser rate. So if something isn't serious or major or mediation where maybe the client wants me there, Scott would be handling certain things or drafting things at a fraction of the price. But those are things that you should know about your case. You should know when Scott's being brought in and you should know how he's going to be used.
What about things that wouldn't be obvious to people that could be pissing their attorney off? Like, I can think of something that most people don't realize unless they've listened to our show, which is when you send your attorney a long, rambling paragraph form email, not only is that going to be more expensive, but it's also obnoxious because it's harder for them to read through it and get to the point. So what are other things like that that we want people to know?
That is a huge one. And we talk about that all the time. I just had a client who did that. So it was a rambling email. There were pieces of it, which I'm like, I think I can do something about this if this is really what he's getting at, but I'm not quite sure what he's getting at. And then I responded saying, hey, let's set up a call because I'm not sure I'm really following. He's like, no, I wrote it all down. I don't need to set up a call. I don't want to pay for that because you got it on email. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't be asking for a call if I knew exactly what you wanted. And so those are the things that you don't want to have happen. I would say that, you know, going back to the staff thing, the kinder you are to the front desk staff or the assistant on the case, I've seen at least my staff go above and beyond for clients if the clients have been kind to them. So it could be Friday at 5 p.m. and, you know, the assistant picks up the phone because they know that it's, you know, Sarah and they love Sarah and Sarah must not be calling unless there's some kind of a problem. And it might be after hours, but they're going to get a hold of me because Sarah's having some kind of an issue. If you're, you know, Chad and Chad's been an ass, they're not going to get that same service.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go through everything again. We want you to address an issue. We are not telling you to ignore it if there's something that's going on that doesn't feel right to you, but it's how you address the issue that's going to be the game changer here. So be to the point and kind and respectful in these messages. Get on the phone. If you can get on a phone and have an effective to the point phone call, it's always better when somebody can hear your voice because some of us are a little bit more aggressive in an email, okay? Be mindful that if you're at a bigger firm, even some small and mid-sized firms, you're going to have multiple people looking at your case. It's not just a one-man band in a lot of situations. So know that you can ask somebody like, hey, I just wanted a little bit of clarity. What is your role on, you know, my case? Just so I know what kind of questions to throw your way or not, right? Do you hear the difference there by just saying, I'm looking for clarity. What is your role on my case? That to me sounds a little aggressive. But if you add on after that, I just wanted to know before I'm lobbing questions your way that, you know, maybe isn't in your wheelhouse or whatever. That sort of justifies the question and it's going to make somebody feel more comfortable and more apt to answer you quickly and treat you with respect. We know that you are navigating this process that is not fun. not desirable, right? This is not like, this is not an episode on how to be kind to your wedding planner, right? Which is like when everyone is happy, still stressed, but it's not like this. These people are meeting you at your very worst and they know that, but we are trying to help you get through this process as painless as possible.
And I want to, yep. And I want to assure you of something, which is, you know, I don't want you to think like, oh my gosh, I'm having this issue and now I have to dance around and be nice, but I really just want to get on the phone and I want my answer now. That's totally normal. And what I want you to know is like, even the busiest attorneys who have a full book of business, unless they're on trial, which is a totally different animal, they should be able to get you in to talk in a week or the week that you email them. They're, even if it's a 15-minute call, like they will fit you in and you shouldn't worry that you're not going to be able to talk to them. Because, and if they're saying to you, I can't talk to you until 2 weeks, like that might be a problem. So you might want to think about that.
Okay, you teed me up perfectly. Let's say that you've listened to this whole episode and you're like, yeah, I've done these things and it's still not working out. And my gut is telling me that my money would be better spent elsewhere. Or maybe it's that you like your attorney, it's fine, but your gut is telling you, gosh, she's great. Love Morgan, obsessed with that last girls trip we went on, but I do not think she is the right person for this case. The fuck do I do now? Well, we're about to get into how you communicate that, but I think, and Morgan, tell me if you agree, before they go and communicate that there is an issue, what are your thoughts on them reframing their mind and having a consultation with another attorney to see maybe it's you? Like maybe there's nothing wrong with the attorney. Maybe it's just that you're getting a shitty deal and no matter where you go, you're gonna get a shitty deal. So part of my brain thinks before you throw everything on the attorney, maybe go and get that second opinion. But I want to know what you think about this.
Well, what usually the reasons that we see people, let's just say a client is unhappy with, you know, let's say I'm the lawyer. I hope this doesn't happen. But if a client's unhappy with me, it's usually I see three reasons. One is I'm not being communicative. I'm not giving them the service they want. That's number one. The second thing that I usually see is they're not happy with what's happening either in court or mediation and the outcome, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent based upon the law. They might just be unhappy. And the third option could be truly it's just not a good personality fit. You know, the way that I communicate with clients might work for you, Andrea, but it might not work for Brenda. Brenda might be like, oh, Morgan's too direct. I don't like her. Or Morgan, you know, likes girls' trips and I hate girls' trips. Whatever it is, it might not be a good fit personality-wise, and that's okay.
But what if it is an okay fit client to attorney? But what if it's just with the case, Morgan? What if it's the kind of thing where it's just maybe it's the two attorneys don't communicate great? Or maybe it's something with the, what if something has happened, right? Maybe you didn't think that you were going to be super high conflict. Now it is really high conflict and your attorney just isn't the right personality to get the job done, in your opinion. Then how do you communicate that? What would you do?
I would say that it is worth a second consultation. I have had consults with clients who are with other lawyers where I've actually said, one, I know you don't like the deal. I know you don't like the outcome, but I don't think I can do any better for you. And your lawyer is not doing a bad job. I don't think I could do anything different. I've had a lot of those. And then I've had others that I've given some ideas. I've said, stick with your lawyer. You're so far down. You're so close to the end. But here are some ideas that maybe you could bring back to your lawyer. So maybe some different things you didn't think about. Not because I'm a better lawyer, but maybe because my brain isn't thinking the way that their lawyer is thinking. I'm thinking about different things. So that's a different way. Or there's the third way that's like, I've seen cases and I'm like, this is very messed up. I never talk poorly about the other lawyer. All I say is, I don't think this sounds right. And I don't think this is how it should happen. And if you were to come with me, if I would take on the case, here's what we would do.
And what we would ask you to do when you have this conversation is I want you to ask two questions. Number one, do I have a realistic expectation? Number two, if you were to take on my case, what would you do differently? So prior to asking that second question, you need to know what your attorney is currently doing. If you don't know what your attorney is currently doing, then you need to frame that up in this consultation saying, this is what I've asked. I'm not clear on the strategy. And that right there should tell you that it's probably not a good fit because you should absolutely know the strategy. If someone has this conversation, Morgan, mm-hmm. and they decided, yep, you know what? I am going to leave this practice and I want to go over here. What's the best way to communicate that request?
At least where I practice, there's two ways to do it. You can either fire them nicely on email and say, hey, Morgan, really appreciate your work. I just don't think it's a good fit. I found somebody else. Will you please move my case to them? That's no problem. The other way is if you don't feel comfortable, maybe you're kind of like Andrea, you hate conflict. Usually, at least where I practice, you don't have to fire them. There's a form that basically goes over to your former lawyer and says, hey, your client has hired me. Why don't you sign off on this? You're no longer involved in the case. And that's simple too. And lawyers are used to those things. So you don't have to feel like you have to get on a lengthy phone call and fire your lawyer. It's not like that.
And just so you know, when you do leave your attorney, if you leave your attorney, be prepared to still receive like one last invoice for services rendered. I think a lot of times people get real salty when they're like, well, I'm no longer working with that attorney, but they don't realize there's still money owed, you know, up until that point.
Yes. And if you do move over attorneys, it might be best practice for you to say to your last attorney, hey, I'm moving, or please give me the updated invoice or run the bill for me while I'm transferring over so that there's no shocks.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let's recap all of this. Number one, Morgan and I both want you to know that you do deserve to be taken care of. Absolutely. Just like how a patient deserves to have really good care from a doctor. What we said earlier was not meant to sound callous when I said you need them more than they need you. But I want you to think about the fact that, again, your life, your livelihood, your kids, that is in the palm of their hand. They are the ones who are helping you get through this. Just like how if you go and break your leg, you're probably not going to go figure out how to make your own cast and put it back together. You're not going to rip out your own appendix. So be mindful of this person whom you are trusting. And again, we hope that you listen to all of the guidance that we give you when we talk about how you should find the right attorney for you, because a lot of this could be avoided if you bought the divorce crash course and you went through step by step and ensured that you hired somebody who's really right for you. Now, still, things can change. You could have a great interview with somebody and then, you know, the service changes. But be mindful that you need this person. You want to be on this person's good side. Be kind to everybody and be concise with the way you communicate.
And I want to tell you too, because I don't want to sound like I'm black and white and callous either, but I wanted to give you a little insight into divorce lawyers. But what I want to leave you with is, look, we all know when things aren't going right. Your gut tells you if you're not getting callbacks, if you're not, you don't know what the hell is going on in your case. I'm not saying that that is acceptable at all. It is unacceptable. But there's a way to handle it. And there's a way to try to right the ship before you go completely nuclear. And that's my point. You can get more out of, you know, somebody with kindness than going nuclear. So a few things on what not to do. Andrea hit the to-dos. I'm going to do what not to do. Number one, don't be unkind to their staff. You want the staff to like you because the staff is the first person, the first line of defense to that lawyer. So they're going to be the first person that runs to the lawyer to say, hey, this client's amazing, or whoa, stay away from this client. Number two, don't cold call your lawyer. They are back to back, a good lawyer's back to back in meetings and court and mediation and figuring things out day to day. So don't cold call unless it's a true emergency. If it is, you might want to cold call and also send an email about what's a true emergency. If it's a true emergency and they think it is one, they can do something about it, they're going to call you back. And the third thing, do not be demanding. I demand a call back today. I always get condescending emails. I would like to speak with you by the end of the day. Things like that. They don't work. they don't go well for you, don't do it. And remember this, that your attorney is human too.
Right. And if there are times during this episode where you rolled your eyes at us or you felt a little bit annoyed with what we were saying, that's okay. I'd rather you hear it from us for free than learn the hard way and have an attorney not like you. So we are your divorce big sisters through this. We are doing this show because we are dedicated to helping you get through this process in the healthiest way possible. And sometimes that means hearing some things that you might need to hear. I was a total disaster when I got divorced. I made a lot of mistakes. That's why we do the show. It's okay. And maybe you've been a little bit of a dick before to your attorney. It's okay. You could probably turn that shit around. Just be nice. Maybe take them on a girls' trip. Buy them some gifts. Maybe they like Korean skincare like Morgan does. Load them up. Hey, bribes usually work. Am I right? I'm serious though. Like if somebody walked into a meeting, Morgan, and brought you a Diet Coke, you would smile.
Yeah, I would smile at that. Or a coffee or just anything, you know, hey, how are you today? You look great. Love your outfit. Any nicety would go a long way.
And words matter. And when I finished my last case, I wrote a really emotional and heartfelt letter to the team that helped me accomplish a really big goal post-decree. And it meant a lot for me to write it. And I know that it meant a lot to the team because it can feel like a thankless job. Yes, they make money, but they're not dealing with happy people day in and day out. So if something good happens and you're feeling grateful, it goes a really long way to share that. And speaking of being grateful, we are very grateful for all of you. So thank you so much for supporting this little show that could. And we could not be more thrilled that we get to be a part of your lives. Whether you're listening to us on your way to work or on a mental health walk or folding laundry or whatever it is that you're doing, thank you so much for putting our show in your ears. It really means so much.
Yeah, that's right. And if you like our show, please rate and review us. It allows us to bring on fabulous guests and do really cool episodes that have gone such a long way with helping people. And the reason we do this show is so that you don't suck at divorce. Everyone's going to make mistakes, and that is okay. It's because you've never done this before. But Andrea and I are here. I'd like to be called little sisters rather than big sisters, but hey, I'll take it. Andrea and I are here to help you.
Gotta keep taking that Ozempic, and we'll be tiny sisters soon.
Hilarious. So Andrea and I are here just to help you and give you a few little tidbits that might kind of lessen the mistakes in a divorce. Because again, you're going to make them, and that is okay. And we're here for you. So remember, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Some days it's day by day. Other days it's hour by hour, and you're hanging on. And we know it. Andrea's lived it. I live it with my clients every day. Not every day is a good day, but guess what? Tomorrow, if you get to wake up, it's going to be a better day. And so what we want you to know is that you're not alone. If you feel alone, you know that we have our community that's free to join. It's awesome. And it's confidential. You don't have to put your name out there, but you will feel less alone. And we have lots of things on our website that will make you feel less alone. But remember this, in the worst days, the reason we do this show is for you, and you have got this.
And we have got you.